So getting back to the theme, the overarching theme of camp is about praising the Lord. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It's a good thing to sing praise to the Lord. And I sometimes think that praise is relegated to singing. And when we come together and we sing, we sang three songs this morning. So we praise the Lord. And that's true. That's absolutely right. We sang three songs, and every one of the songs that I hope you sang was praise. And even when you're not singing a song that has the word praise or hallelujah in it, you can still be praising the Lord as you're singing, depending on what the song is. It might be a prayer more than it would be praise. But adoration and thanksgiving and lifting up our voice in song and picking one from the hymn book or one that you know by memory or a worship chorus or song. Yeah, yes, that's all included in praising the Lord. But it is so much more than just singing a song. And I hope that in the next day or two, not today, it'll take at least until tomorrow and maybe until Friday. But I would like to look into the Bible a little bit and just try to unpackage what the Old Testament words for praise are and what that means. See, I think every one of us here, we would want to be biblical. We want to do what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches us. We want to obey. It's a good thing to obey when the Bible says to do something, obey it. But I don't understand it. The Bible never said you have to understand it, just do it. Like Brother Wanamaker, I think, told Brother Tom. When Brother Tom asked one time, you know, what does this pray without ceasing? What does that mean, pray without ceasing? What did Brother Wanamaker say?
Just do it.
Just do it. Just do it. What does it mean? Just pray with. What does it mean to in everything give thanks? Or rejoice evermore? Or his praise shall continue. I don't understand that. How could that? Just do it. Just start praising the Lord. But praising the Lord is more than singing, and it's more than verbal. There's language to praising the Lord that's body language. And the Bible teaches us that. We have to learn all the different parts that the Bible teaches us. There are some misnomers, and one of the things is, oh, this is the Ridgewood way of worship. This is what they do in Ridgewood. Ridgewood praises the Lord. Ridgewood comes together and they praise the Lord. I love. Nobody else does that. We praise the Lord because we sang 9 songs and 16 choruses, so we've got our time of praise. That's all good. That's all good. Thank God. That is a time of praise. That is a time of worship. And yes, there is another aspect where we don't sing from the book, or we just start singing from our hearts to people. And some people don't know what we're doing. They don't know what that is. Oh, that's Ridgewood. No, that's not Ridgewood. That's what I call Bible. There's a difference between what Ridgewood does and what Ridgewood says, and what, and when I say Ridgewood, I mean the fellowship that Brother Hunt's birthed and started and has been in existence for almost 100 years now. No, it's not the Ridgewood way. It is the Bible way. It is one of the Bible ways that the Bible teaches us to praise the Lord. And so we want to do what the Bible says, not what Brother Hunt said, not what Sister Robinson taught us, because we're not doing it because it's rote or tradition or habit only. We're doing it because we want to be obedience to the Word of God, to what the Scriptures teach us. But not only is praise verbal and has our bodies included behind it and in it, and our hearts. But there's another aspect which we'll talk about next week, not this week, but it's our lives. You can praise the Lord sitting completely still. You can praise the Lord by your actions every day. And our lives are to be lives of ceaseless praise. So your worship, your reasonable act of worship or praise to the Lord is the way that you live your life, coupled with what comes out of your mouth, including how we worship or what the Bible teaches us as far as worship. Now, a lot of these things are interchangeable. when it comes to our verbal praise, when it comes to opening our mouth and singing praise to the Lord. It's interchangeable, different parts. And you'll understand what I mean in just a moment. But if you have a Bible and you would turn in your Bible with me to Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to primarily focus on what the Psalms teach us. Because Psalms have an appreciable amount about praising the Lord. But I think I'd like to begin with what heaven teaches us, or what we read in Revelation chapter 19. There's one word, and I purposefully or intentionally, not because I'm lazy, that could be one of the reasons, but I don't have any handouts. So I'm not giving you a book that's going to have this all in print in front of you, because I know that some of you, and I've always been taught, take notes, write it down. Because I can write it down for you and give it to you, but if you write it down yourself, if you're doing this all by yourself, it's maybe more impressionable, maybe you understand it better. You can make it mean something to you by putting it in your language or in your words. And in the 19th chapter of Revelation, we have a word, it's called, and these words are not that important, but it's H-A-L-L-E-L. Or sometimes I've seen it H-A-L-L-E-L-L. It's halal. Now, I don't know how to say that right. I don't know how to say it the Hebrew way. They got a lot of in their language, and so maybe that's the way you say halal. Whatever it is, I'm going to say it the English way, or the way that I know it, and it's halal. Okay, that means praise. That's one of the words. But as you know, the Hebrew language and Greek language also is maybe more descriptive than the English language. In English, we have a lot of different words. We have one word that sums it all up, and we call it praise. We call it praise, or sometimes translated hallelujah, or bless the Lord, or words like that. And it's all, usually in English, it's praise. This is all praise, and that's okay. But Hebrew, they break it down a little bit more than just one word. They break it down into the Hebrew language, seven different words for praise in the Hebrew language. And one of them is this word, hallel. Now, it's mentioned 96 times in the Old Testament. Now, I realize Revelation 19 is Greek, but it's the same word in Greek. It's not hallel. I don't know what the Greek word is. But here's what it says in Revelation 19. John is writing, obviously. And it says, after this, I heard what sounded like a roar of a great multitude in heaven, and they were shouting, Hallel. They were there in heaven. I heard the sound in heaven. I heard like a great multitude of people in heaven. And we know where those people that are in heaven, you know where they came from. They weren't born in heaven. They were born down here on earth, and they've come from this earth. They've come through great tribulation, John has already been told. They've come through great tribulation. They've washed their robes in the blood of Jesus Christ. They've come out of the darkness in the world, and they've come through the world, and now they're rejoicing in heaven. They're saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And I hear this loud voice in heaven. What are people doing in heaven? Well, they're shouting hallelujah just outside their mansion door, if they're outside their mansion door when they're shouting hallelujah. But here, that's the word, hallel. They're singing and shouting, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and forever. And then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants. You who fear him, both small and great. And I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like the sound of peals of thunder. And they were shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride, the church, you and I, we've made ourselves ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteousness of the saints, or the righteous acts of the saints. Hallelujah. They're shouting, they're praising, they're worshiping. That word Hallel, Hallelujah, it kind of goes together. And as I say, 96 times in the Old Testament, we're finished with the New Testament for this morning, but with the Old Testament. We're not going to read all 96, we're not going to read hardly any of them. But I'd just like to call your attention to what that word means, the definition of it. It means, and I wrote down, to praise, to boast, to celebrate clamorously or boisterously. If you were the only one that were halaling this morning, you would kind of stand out. It would be noticeable. People who halal, you can't do that on the inside only. You can't stand there or sit there in heaven with a loud voice singing hallelujah and nobody notice you. Now, you'd be a little out of place. No, you'd be a lot out of place. Imagine if you were in heaven this morning. You think of somebody in heaven. Every one of us have somebody that's there. Okay, I'm gonna pick somebody. I'm gonna pick my dad. My dad's in heaven. If he were the only one this morning saying, hallelujah, worthy is the Lamb, hallelujah, well, he'd stick out like a sore thumb. Because he'd be the only one halaling, rejoicing, clamorously, boasting, celebratory. You don't do that quietly. It's like what happens at a baseball game. If you've ever been to one, you ever gone to a baseball game? It could be a Little League game. It happens at Little League games. It happens at any kind of a game, sporting event, any sporting event. What happens when you're sitting there and it's the ninth inning, and the bottom of the ninth, and the score is tied, and your team is up, and your favorite player hits a home run? So what do? No, you don't. You sit there and you go, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not emotional type. I'm not that kind of person. I'm a reserved, I'm a more quiet reserved. I'm a thinker. I'm not a fanatic like the rest of the whole stadium. But why do they do that? You know why they do that? Because that's what people do. That's what people do. They're not nuts. They look like a bunch of nuts, and taken out of context, they might... I mean, imagine if the same guy was walking down the street and all of a sudden he went, you'd cross the street and get to the other side. Because, I mean, that guy's crazy. But you put it in the context of a baseball game and the guy hitting a home run, and that's just what people do. They just erupt. They don't sit there, you know, oh, 3-2-1, and the guy takes a jump shot at the buzzer and he hits it and your team wins by 1 point and there that's your team and you go, very nice. I've never seen that done. And the interesting thing about it, you don't have to, when you get to the stadium or to the arena, they don't have to hand you something and say, if your team wins in the last second, jump up and shout with the rest of them. It's proper to. It's just protocol. It's the right thing to do with a loud voice to get up and just shout and celebrate and be boisterous about it. And don't be so... Nobody has to give you instructions to do that. You need instructions when you come to church? You need instructions when you get into the house of God? Do you have anything to clamorously shout or be boisterous about or celebrate? No, well, I got nothing to celebrate. Jesus died on the cross and he took away my sins. Thank you.
Hallelujah. No,
shh. If you're the only one that does that, you're out of place.
Sorry.
But you know what? You shouldn't be out of place. Everybody should be celebrating. Everybody should come into his gates with thankful hearts. And they are doing that in heaven this morning. You're not going to start when you get to heaven, are you? What are they singing? They're celebrating the cross and the victory of the Lamb. They've been taken out of sin and darkness. Now, I know when I get to heaven, I want to keep on doing that, but I've already been taken out of darkness. I can already celebrate the blood that was shed and the victory of the cross and the Lamb is conquered. And I don't got to wait to heaven to start to do that and to clamorously, boisterously celebrate the victory that Jesus has brought. Do you have to wait to heaven? Because you're not that guy. It's in Psalm 113. Just going to read a couple of them so that you at least know where the word halal is. Because sometimes you'll read the word praise or you'll read the word hallelujah or you'll read the word whatever and it might not be the word halal, but here's the word halal. So what the psalmist is saying, Psalm 113, right at the beginning, he says, praise the Lord. Well, what that means is I want you to rave or boast or celebrate clamorously. I want you to praise the Lord. That's what that means. And he goes on and praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise, halal, the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be halaled, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be lifted up, celebrated, praised. And so you're kind of included in there. Now, I know some of you wise women are saying, oh, well, we're not in this. It says servants, we're not servants, we're handmaidens. Come on. You handmaidens of the Lord. Hey, if you want to go to Isaiah 12, at the end part of Isaiah 12, you have the same thing. It's halal. Cry out and shout, thou inhabit tints of Zion. You know what the original says? Puts it in the feminine. You women of Zion, inhabitresses, you ladies, you cry out and shout, you bride of Christ, because great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. It's in the 149th, I'm not going to turn there, 149th Psalm, 150th Psalm. It's all filled with praise, 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 praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath. You got breath? Bad breath? Good breath? Dying breath? That's what Featherstone wrote. When the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I loved you, my Jesus, it's now. And from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, Lord, your name is worthy of my praise. Your name is worthy for me to exalt you. The picture of it is in 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm not going to read there, but I am going to tell the story, just a little bit of it. It's a story of King David, and he's already lived an appreciable amount of his life. He's already been anointed the king. He's already been sitting on the throne. And we're at the time in David's life, 2 Samuel chapter 6, when the ark had been stolen and taken away by the Philistines. You remember that? And so the people of God did not have with them the Ark of God. The Ark of God, which represented the presence of God, or God's presence being with the people of God. And that was really their lifeline. That was their blessing, their victory. That was their salvation. And God wanted to tabernacle. God wanted to be with his people. He wanted to dwell among them. As a matter of fact, in Exodus 25, he says, I want a tabernacle right in the midst, right in the middle of my people. So take the thing that represents my presence and put it right in the middle and put the encampment all around. I want to be front and center, right in the midst of my people. Because it's important that God, that Jesus, and Jesus wasn't in the Old Testament, but we would say, it's important that Jesus is front and center. Colossians says he has the preeminence. In all things, he has the preeminence. He's the preeminent one. He's the one that we gather to worship. He's the one that we praise. He's the one that when we praise, we're not praising camp. We're not praising a religion. We're not praising a corporation. We're praising the king. We're worshiping him. And so they lost that in Israel. God's people. They lost the presence of God. It was taken by the Philistines, and it was moved around from here to there. But all of a sudden, now in 2 Samuel 6, the presence of Jesus, of God, is coming back into the camp, into the encampment, or into the city of God, or among, again, the people of God. And David understood what that meant. He understood that that is something to be celebrated. That is something to clamor about and to be boisterous about and to rave about. That is something that's special. That's a big deal. It's a big deal that the presence of God is coming back to his people, and that God is going to be once again with and among his people. And so you know what David did? He halaled. He showed us what it means to halal, and boy, did he ever halal. But he was the only one halaling. He stood out like a sore thumb. And you know who didn't like it? His wife. Was ist das? Es ist loco in la cabeza. I don't know what he's doing. What's he doing? Michael, that was her name. She's off to a wrong start right off the bat. But Michael, David's wife, she looks out the window, and what does she, David, what does she see David doing? I mean, he's just going nuts. Now again, put him in a different context. Put him in his classroom at school, in the middle of the lecture, learning physics, all of a sudden, oh, hey, oh, no. No, slow down, David. No. Wrap him up and tie him and bring him to wherever. But no. You're in the right place and it's the right time. But why was he so happy? Why was he so celebratory? The presence of God is here again. And we're coming into the presence of God, and God's presence is coming to dwell among and within his people. Is that not a reason? You know, I hear it said so often. Don't you hear it say often too, said often about the presence of God is at Pilgrim Camp. The presence of God is at Pilgrim Camp. Oh, when we come into the meetings at camp, we can sense the presence of Jesus is here. Yes, I can too. I'm glad he's here, aren't you? Mm-hmm. We're very happy about that. We're so very just blessed by that. Let's go catch fish. I want to go swimming in the lake. Oh, yeah. Oh, we just hit a home run and headed halfway up the Kreutzer Field. Oh, the Kreutzer Field. You don't know what that is. The ball field. Now we're in church. Yes, we are. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Yes. He's present. Now, there is a time, and we'll talk about praise being something completely different than halal. And it's all legitimately praise. It's not all halal, but halal is part of it, and a large part of it. And when David experienced the presence of God coming back, he just danced before the Lord. You know, it's okay to dance before the Lord. I've seen many times people dance before the Lord. Just so boisterously celebrating the presence of God. Jesus is here. He's ministering to us. And as that old spiritual, which I don't think any of you know it, but the choir and the soloist are singing back and forth, and the soloist shouts out something, and the choir responds, and the soloist says, "Sit down, sit down." And the choir responds and says, "I can't sit down." And the soloist says, "Sit down." And the choir says, "I can't sit down." And the third time, soloist, "Sit down. I can't sit down." I'm filled with the fire and the Holy Ghost too. I can't sit down. Jesus has come. His presence has come. And we couple halal with yada and a few other of the ways of worship, and hands go up and people stand on their feet and they start doing some of this, and they're just lost in wonder, love, and yes, praise. And it's all the praises of God. And it's all comely for the upright in heart. If you're not upright in heart, Sierra La Boca, keep your mouth shut. It's not comely for those that are not upright in heart just to start singing or clapping or rejoicing. And how I've seen that over and over, I've seen that, and it, I wonder if it displeases the Lord. I was in a meeting once, and a guy was worshiping the so-called worshiping the Lord, and he had a beer can in his hand. Hands up, raised. I don't know if that was pleasing to the Lord. I take joy in my King and what you, I don't know. Doesn't seem like it added up too much. It's like the kid down in the village I've told you about too, Isaiah, at the altar praying, seeking the Lord. Hallelujah, he has hand up. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And with the other hand, he was punching the guy that was next to him at the altar in the back. Praise the Lord, and he's slugging the guy next. Something's not right about that. Praise is comely for the upright in heart. And so as David danced before the Lord, and as David jumped and celebrated, Michael looked out the window and she said, you're nuts. You're way out of place. You're way out of line. You're one of those religious fanatics. You're crazy. You should stop it now. You're so undignified. And David said, hey, listen, Mike, or whatever you call her, honey. Listen, let me tell you something, Michael. If you think I'm undignified now, just wait till you see me next time. Oh, I can't stop this. Well, this is, I'll be more undignified going down the road. This is just what we do because I have to halal. Because Jesus, his presence, the presence of God is here. So it's really okay. It's really okay if when you came into the meeting and came to church, if you halal, it'd be okay. Now, we'll talk about how to do that or what that means somewhere probably tomorrow because I'm too long already today. But just one more word. I'm going to jump off of that. We could go on that for a long time. But another word is, this is one that you'll all know. Yada, yada, yada. You ever say that before? Yada, yada, yada. Y-A-D-A-H, yada. Well, that means praise. I thought halal means praise. No, it does. It's just like chicken. There could be barbecue chicken, there could be chicken a la King, there could be chicken cutlets, there could be Popeye's chicken, there could be all kinds of different kinds. It's all chicken, but it's all different kinds of chicken. Well, this is all praise, but it's all a little different kind of praise. And yada is a verb. You know what a verb is? Verb is a what kind of word? Action word. Action. Well, what kind of action does yada entail? What do we do when we yada? What does that mean? Well, yada is the throwing out of your hands. Now, you can't throw them out completely because they're attached. But you just throw your... Did you ever yada? It's okay to yada. No, I don't do that. I don't do yada. No, you do yada. People do yada. I've seen a picture of the Nathan's Hot Dog Contest at Coney Island. The guy cheated this year. Did you read that? The guy that, well, he didn't win it anyway, but he came in fourth place, and I guess that wasn't good enough for him. So he stole one of the empty dishes from somebody else, which has five hot dogs on it, but it was empty. He took a plate from the guy next to him, put it on his pile, so he got a credit for five hot dogs more than he really ate. But the tape told, and he was disqualified, and he fell back into disrepute. He had only eaten 52 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Buns included. I think some of the Nonantum guys try to beat the record when they have hot dogs. I don't know if anybody's ever done well enough. Joey Chestnut, he's my hero. Joey Chestnut, but he didn't compete this year. He was disqualified for another reason, going for the mustard belt. But I've seen the pictures after. After they announced the winner, Joey Chestnut, I think he's up to 72 and a quarter. That's pretty good. 50, anybody can do that. But Joey, he ate 72 hot dogs in 10 minutes, buns included. He dips them into the water and swallows them, and they just slide right down. And he just goes at it for 10 minutes, and there you go. But then he's crowned the mustard champion. That's what they call it, the mustard belt. And they crown you the champion. And I've seen the pictures of the crowd that stands there. People go to watch this. They go there and to cheer them on. Go ahead, you can do it. Eat it. Yes, you can. Swallow. Like, yeah, come on, you can do it. We'll worry about later when later comes, but just go for it now. And so they're eating away and doing the best that they can. And then they announce Joey Chestnut broke the record. He ate 72.5 hot dogs. And the crowd, you know what they do? You know what the whole crowd does? They yada. The whole bunch of them. I've seen it. All of a sudden they announce it, and the whole crowd goes, yeah, they halal and yada at the same time. For Joey Chestnut. Oh, I've got a better reason than Joey Chestnut to yada and halal. Why did they throw their hands up? 2014 Olympics. Do you remember where the Olympics were held? In Winter Olympics, 2014. Anybody remember? Oh, come on, you got to get caught up on your Olympics. 2014, it was in Russia. Did you say that? No, you said it. Well, good. Valerie knows. Do you remember what the name of the city was? That's it. Sochi. Sochi, Russia. It was a little place. And I, again, saw the picture of when it was announced to a group of school students in Sochi. This is, again, a big deal. It's like announcing it in Chestertown or some other, maybe Albany. And they announced in Sochi that they were awarded the Winter Olympics 2014. And you know how they got to pick, the Olympic Committee picks where it's going to be held. And Sochi was in the running, and they got the announcement. We're going to be the ones. We're going to host the Olympics in 2014. And they announced it to the school students. And you know what all the school students did? They all yachted. And they all halaled. Now, I could go on and on and on, and you could come up with your illustrations and examples of where it was that you heard the news. She's having a baby. They're engaged. They're going to get married. Yay. You don't do that? Oh, another one? Oh, I hope she knows what she's doing, and hope she knows what she's getting into. To him? Or vice versa? No. No, when you hear good news, when you hear news that you want to celebrate, why, that's just the way that you are. See, she's got it. Yada. Hallel. Praise the Lord. Well, before we end this morning, I do want to, you know the story in 2 Chronicles 20, but it's there, and it's the word yada that's used. When it says Jehoshaphat led the singers, you know the story, you know it well. Anybody who has ever talked about praise has talked about that story. We've got an enemy to face, we've got to go out to fight the battle, and we're not able to fight the battle because they're bigger, stronger than we are, and we can't ever do this, but what should we do, Lord? And the Lord said, you set the singers. You set the singers. You put them in the front. And let them lead the troops into the battle. And so they led the troops into the battle, singing, His mercy endureth forever. But the interesting thing, to me at least, is that in 2 Chronicles 20, the word yada is there. I don't know what it's translated in English, but yada. They with their hands raised, reaching out. What are they doing? They're reaching out for help. They're reaching out for help. For whence cometh our help? Our help comes from the Lord. Lord, I need you. Lord, we need you. Your mercy endureth forever. And we're going into a battle that we can't win. So I'm not going like this. I'm not going like this. But Lord, help us. Help us in our time of need. You've ever watch the little kids when they see Papa come walking down the road. Now, they probably will never do this now that I've said it. But they do oftentimes. They'll run over. They'll run over to. And what do? They'll stand down. And what do? They go like this. What do they want? Pick me up, Pop. Or Dad, or Mom, or Auntie, or friend, or whoever you may be. Pick me up. If they can't talk yet. They got that. Come on, pick. Did you ever yada? Oh, Jesus. Jesus, I need you. I need help from you. I need you to come, Lord, to me. I need you to meet me. I extol and worship you. I praise you. I glorify your name. You've paid the price. You've shed the blood. You've opened up a new and a living way. Praise your name. And I could do that just right out of my heart. And you can do that right out of your heart. And you throw in a little yada with your halals, because that's often what happens. This isn't just now. To this morning, I'm coming to meeting and I'm going to halal. And maybe tomorrow if I come, I might yada too. And there's, well, you might yada and halal all in the same meeting, all at the same time. And we got a few other words we could throw in there that you might also do all at the same time. But Lord, help me to praise you the way that your word instructs me. And finally, in Exodus chapter 17, you have a story there about Moses. And the Lord said, I want you, Moses, to go up into the mountain. Go up and sit on that mountain. And I want you to go on the mountain and you pray and you intercede and you go on behalf of the people. And I want to send the troops down into the valley to fight the battle. So you've got a lot of people down in the valley fighting the battle. And you got Moses sitting on top of the mountain praying and interceding for the people that were fighting down in the battle. Now, who's more important, the guy sitting on top of the mountain or the troops that are down in the valley? That's a question. Who's more important? Okay, Brother Tom says the mountaintop, the guy that's praying, is more important than the troops in the valley. If he was up there praying and there were no troops in the valley, would they have won the victory? Well, if the Lord sent hailstones from heaven, but he didn't at that particular time, that was another story. No, they needed to be down there. And the answer to me is I don't know the answer. You needed the guys down there in the valley. You need the ones that are there. But you also needed Moses on top of the mountain. Because the Bible says in Exodus 17, what did Moses do when he was up there on the mountain? Doesn't say he halaled. Word halal is not there. Maybe he did. I don't know if he halaled or not. But I know he yadded. He yadded. How do I know? Because it says so. It says he stretched out his hands towards heaven. What was he doing? Lord, I need you. Lord, see them down. They need you. Lord, come. Lord, come. And that's praise. And Moses was up there on the mountaintop praising the Lord with his mouth, I don't know, but with his hands raised. And as long as his hands were raised, what was happening down there in the valley? You know, maybe the reason why you don't have the victory is because you've never learned yada. Oh, but I halal a lot. Oh, he didn't halal, he just yadded. Maybe we need to also learn yada. Maybe we need to praise the Lord with our mouth. Maybe we need to lift up our hands in adoration and thanksgiving and receive. Lord, I want you. Well, you don't have to do that. He knows where you are. He knows what you need. I know he knows who you are, and I know he knows what you need. But he commands us and tells us in the Bible that we are to praise him with our mouths, with our hands. We are to praise the Lord. It says in Timothy, in the Greek language, Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands. Oh, I want people all over the place to lift up holy hands. Well, why do you got to lift up holy hands? I don't understand why lifting up holy hands. Hey, are you really going to get something when I lift up holy hands? You mean if I keep my hands in my pocket, the Lord's not going to bless me? Of course he's going to bless me. If he wants to bless me, he's going to bless me. I don't have to lift up holy hands. Hey, if he tells you to lift up holy hands, lift up holy hands. I don't understand why. Explain that to me. Why do I need to explain it to you? Why does anybody need to explain it to you? Isn't it clear enough? I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands. Yeah, well, we'll explain that. Explain it. It means you go like this, and it means you go like this. But why? I don't understand. Why was it? Because the Bible says so. And it says it a number of places in the Psalms, not just in Exodus 17. But the Bible teaches us, oh, we can come and lift. Now, does that mean I should walk into the meeting? Next time I come in, I'm coming in like this? And or like this? Or maybe. I wouldn't throw you out if you did. But you might not need to. But there may be a time. There may be a time in a meeting. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe throughout the whole time you're here at camp, you'll never yada or halal. I doubt it. Because we're supposed to come into his presence with that. But there may be a time when you might even just go like this. I've never done that in my life. We don't do that in my church. My church never taught me to do that. My church, we don't do that. And, okay, fine. Your church doesn't teach you to do that. But the Bible does. I don't care what the Bible says. My church says. Well, I don't know. I'm just saying. I think the Bible trumps, no pun intended, nothing, no political. My Bible says, and that trumps what anybody says, including me, or even Uncle Hans. But Uncle Hans said what the Bible said. And I'm thankful that we can obey. And I want the Lord to help me. There's so much else, and we're not going to go on and on with it any longer. But you get the point, I hope, this morning. I hope that I could learn these lessons, because these are weapons. Paul says the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty. And a simple little act of obedience to the Word of God can win the victory. So many times that's shown to us in the Bible, insignificant little things. Roll the stone away from the door so we can get Lazarus out. Or fill these things up with water. Just a little act of obedience. I don't understand. Why do I have a... Just do it. Just do it. And you'll find that is a pathway to the victory, and it's a weapon. Yada is a weapon. Could be. Hallel and praising the Lord brought ambushments against the enemy. And God was glorified. And so when the Bible tells me and admonishes me to praise the Lord, here are just two of the five ways. Let's see if we can speed through and maybe cover the five more tomorrow morning. Good luck. But let's see. Maybe the Lord can teach me. Teach me. Teach me, Lord. I don't know. And then even if I've learned these ways, and I hope you understand what I mean, could my lifted hands be more in God, more in faith, more expectation? Lord, I want you. I need you. I lift up holy hands to receive all that you have. It's not just the words, it's not just the actions, it's not just the boisterous clamor. No, it's not just that. It's the attitude, celebratory. He's worthy. His presence is here. So let all the people praise his name forever and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to the setting and going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised. I think we all know that chorus. Maybe we could sing it together. The chorus of number 18 in the hymn book. But you don't need to turn there if you know. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Let's stand together as we sing that chorus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Praise the Lord, oh, we things he hath done. Hallelujah, 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 Lord, we praise your name. Hallelujah, 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 we bless your name, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise your name, O Lord. Sides of the north, a city of the great king. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, a city of the great king. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy city of the great king. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Hallelujah, 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 from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, Lord, your presence with us. Jesus, you're here where we gather in your name. You're in our midst, O Lord, and you're worthy, worthy to receive blessing and honor and glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yea, Lord, amen, dear Lord. Hallelujah unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin. To him be the glory forever. Amen. With harps and with viols there stands a great throng in the presence of Jesus, and sing this new song unto him. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we commit ourselves to you this day. We ask that as we go to prayer and spend time waiting at your feet, Lord, that you will minister to our hearts and souls. And throughout the day, Lord, help your praise to be in our mouth and help our lives to be lives of ceaseless praise. Yes, Lord. Amen. We thank you, Lord. Teach us. Help me to learn. Help me to learn better, O God, that these weapons that you have entrusted to us and given us in your word that we might better learn to use them. Lord, that your kingdom might come and your will be done here on earth, even as it's being done in heaven. Dismiss us with your blessing. Bless the staff as they work. Lord, we thank you for them. Strengthen them for this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. If you'd like to stay to pray, come and join us. Thank you. I'll catch my hip on. Hallelujah.